Oh, let's go on vacation.
Yeah, let's go. Vacation.
Oh, are you gonna sing? Aruba, Jamaica, come on, baby, whatever that song goes. Kokomo.
Boys have nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Episode number 10.
So like in Roman numerals, that's like X, and there's three of us, so we're triple X.
Oh God, that's X rated.
I know.
Oh my God, here we go. I haven't even said the title yet, and we're already here. This is episode number 10, Travels with Teachers. And of course, once again, I have my dear cohorts here, and they are
Jen.
And Sharon.
Oh my God. Anyway, yeah. Can you please it? Can you guys believe that we are on episode 10 already? That's crazy.
Cool.
Yay. And we have more than 10 listeners.
Yay!
Gotta work on that though, girls. Gotta work on that. So go push that out. Everybody out there, if you love us, even if you like
kind of like us.
Yeah. It'd be really nice if you could push us out there to your friends and family. Okay, there's my shameless promotion in the beginning of this whole thing. But in any case, I wanted to talk a little bit about our newsworthy tidbits and kind of keeping on the same topic that we've been on, which was the budget. We've been talking about state budget, but now I'm going back to kind of jump over to what I read about the GOP bill that's coming out. And it's the GOP answer, the Republican answer to the HEROES Act, which was passed in the House and sent to the Senate, of course. But as we all know, that wasn't going to go through without a glitch. There's going to be some battling, and there's a lot of battling going on. But in regards to the part of the bill that deals with education funding, the Republicans have agreed to offer $70 billion in total. And that of that, one third of that would go to all schools in the country. But the other two thirds, they want to tie to the schools, only to schools who will reopen. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that reopening has to do with like at least 50% of the students are going to class 50% of the time. That's the baseline in order to receive the other two thirds of the money for that. And their rationale for that is that, well, those schools are going to need the extra money in order to prepare their schools with the proper PPE and other items and disinfectants and staff and those kinds of things in order to meet the COVID precautions that have been set up.
So, wait, you can pay for people with that money?
I don't know about people, but it's definitely for it. I mean, maybe, but it's not, I don't think it's necessarily people. It's for more like making sure that you've got the equipment you need and making sure you've got the COVID protections in place.
Who's going to take all those temperatures?
Yeah, well, that's beyond this act. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're calling it, it's really interesting, they're calling it the Health Economic Assistance Liability Protection and Schools Act. Wow. Why do they do that?
It's called, that's not in long other words, at all.
No, it's called the HEALS Act. In other words, we will heal you with our generosity. So
yeah, we will heal you because nobody can sue you when everybody gets fucking sick.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But that's what they're proposing right now. And that if a district wants part of that two-thirds money, they'll have to submit a proposal to the governor, and then the governor will have to approve it. And of course, this has not passed yet, and there are still things going on. But I just thought it was really kind of interesting how they're still trying to make a reopening contingent on being funded fully for that. So that's just a little quick update. And of course, this was being pushed by our friends, President Trump and Betsy DeVos. And also, it was interesting because, you know, Ms. DeVos, Secretary DeVos, is a big advocate of charter schools. Parentheses, she has very much invested in them.
She's never been to a public school. I don't even know she's ever walked on campus of a public school.
That's at least what my assumption would be. I mean, we don't hear about that very often, or if all. And half the time, any of these people, when they do go on campus, any of these politicians, it's always a photo op and not really a real investigative time that they spend there. You know, you hear about them. It's like they go on, they walk around the school, they shake a few hands, and then they go. I'm waiting for a politician to come on a campus, and not like a campus in Palos Verdes.
Come to our school.
Yeah, a campus in Compton, a campus in tough neighborhoods, a campus where teachers are working their asses off to make the most of things. And then don't spend a day there, spend a week every
different
day.
Different classrooms,
In different classrooms, a month, you know, make it a big deal. And then you'll really get an idea of what you're talking about before you go and make kinds of legislation that affects so many millions of people. Anyway, but they wanted parents should be able to take some of this 2/3 funding and personally use it to pay for education. In other words, if they wanted to send their kid to a private school, then they should be able to use some of this money in order to afford the tuition for those schools that are going to reopen. So that was part of what they were wanting to do. Interesting. Wow. In any case. Yeah. So our funding's still up in the air. So we don't really know exactly what's going to happen.
Just like everything else.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess you something you just got to get used to. So there you go. Update complete. The only thing I can say to people is if you want change and you're not happy with the way things are going, or maybe if you are, the best thing you can do is register and vote. So if that is something you want to do, just go and Google it. You can also go to votesaveamerica.com and check and make sure you're registered to vote there. And
which I'm guessing you're going to put in the show notes, right?
I can certainly do that. That's actually through one of my favorite podcasts that I listen to quite a bit. And here is a unsolicited plug for them, right? It's
called, hey, better call them and tell
them. Save America, right? God Save America, you guys. They're really good if you are left-leaning, I'll tell you that. If you're conservative, you'll hate them. But if you're left-leaning, you will love them. They're super good. Anyways, if you're listening, Pod Save America, give us some love back. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, here's some other news. I can put this in our tidbits. Guess what Jennifer and I did?
Oh, yeah, this is exciting. Wait.
Tell them, Jen.
So we wrote a grant over the summer, and we just got noticed yesterday. We got approved. We're getting a makerspace.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. We've got some recognition awards, blah, 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 on Wednesday.
What?
Check your email.
Recognition award?
Yeah, we have a...
You sent me something about a meeting.
Yeah, it's our award ceremony, I guess. Recognition award, blah, blah, I don't know.
For what? For getting the grant?
Getting approved, I guess. So it was only like 10 people.
Well, maybe that's all that applied. We'll let you know how our grant goes.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun to think about that. So into uncharted territory, because I've never really done that before.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It was a lot of
very
work,
cool,
man. That
cool.
thing was long.
Yeah, it took a bit.
Yeah, it took us 2 days.
Yep, 2 days.
Yeah.
I think most people write grants over like a couple of months, Jen.
Yeah, they said it was good too. We were among the top ranking. Okay, thank you. Yay for us.
Okay.
You got Anne on your team. It's going to be
I know. I'm all. We got an English teacher here. I'm all.
Oh my God, you guys.
Anne was writing it the whole time. I would just like look up synonyms for this word so we didn't use the same word.
That's how I do it. I write with synonyms.
That's what I do too.
I'm like, we're like the kids. The thesaurus is like their worst enemy. They come up with all these words that make no sense in their writing.
It's like the best thing though. You just write a bunch of shit as you're thinking it, and then you go, okay, let me change my
instead
shit.
Instead of create. Okay, what's synonym for create? Yeah. Did it.
Could you imagine though, had we had this when we were in college, had computers, how much easier it would have been to write papers?
Shoot.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. And here is why I'm going to disagree with you on that, because this is what happens. As technology advances, the expectations advance as well. So it's not that it becomes easier. It's that the expectation is that you will have a better written paper.
I wish I would have had one of those, you know, citing apps where it's just you click right here and woo, it does like the little footer for you already. Oh, yeah, that's what I wish I had.
Yeah,
that's a bitch doing thing. All that. Blech.
I think the thing that I would have liked more though was ability to backspace without having to use correction fluid. Yeah. And out and starting over because you had too many mistakes on a page, or that your whole paper is like painted white.
Or yeah, you took a little paper that had the white thing and you stuck it between the ching, ching, ching. And you better catch your mistakes on that line before you go to the next line, because otherwise it's a fucking bitch.
Oh, it's not many times. Ugh. Yeah. Or your typewriter tape ran out of ink.
Oh,
Lord.
These are first world problems.
This is really funny because, so, you know, I'm going through the garage and there's just boxes of vintage and antique things. And one of the things I found was a letter that my mom wrote to her parents. And this must have been I think it was like 1982 when we got our first computer. And she was a secretary. So she's writing this letter explaining what a pain in the ass it is to use a computer versus a typewriter, and how she has to adjust and get used to all the things that it does compared to what she's used to.
How funny.
Pretty funny.
Change is never easy, right?
That's pretty funny.
It's kind of like what we're going through right now. Everybody's panicked and freaked out about distance learning. How are we going to do it? What's it going to look like? But you know how it's going to be. We're going to be like that the first couple of weeks. Then we'll settle in
better.
It.
Yeah.
And we'll be okay. So,
right. And then we'll be there the whole year.
I think we're going to take a little quickie break right here. And then we're going to get into our travel recommendations for teachers who can't go anywhere.
Yay. Drink time.
Let's talk today about traveling for teachers. And well, of course, right now traveling is difficult, but I was kind of interested in if there was anything that was special for teachers when traveling. So of course I do what I normally do when I'm trying to figure something out is I Google it. I Google everything. It's ridiculous. You say one thing to me, I'm like, wait, let me check that. But I just went on and I Googled traveling for teachers, exactly that. And I found some amazing things out there that I had no idea existed for teachers who want to travel but don't want to spend a lot of money. So one of the first things I came across was a website called Global Exploration for Educators Organization, otherwise known as GEEO. It is a nonprofit organization, and it's actually sent over 3,000 teachers abroad on adventurous travel programs. So when I'm saying adventurous, I mean, this is not like first class travel, all right? You're not going to be staying in 4-star hotels or 5-star, or like my sister would be 5-star, but you're not going to stay in those kinds of accommodations. You might have some like shared rooms. You might have an occasional communal bathroom down the hall, but it does include all your transportation, accommodations, and your transfers, you know, to airports and to hotels and things like that. It also usually includes a knowledgeable guide that answers your questions, makes recommendations. A lot of these guides are university faculty that are experts on the destination. And for another thing that they like to do is they don't provide meals, because they feel like, and I think this is true, that if you're sitting there eating meals with your travel companions all the time, you're not really venturing out into the communities,
right?
And getting to know the people and the places and the foods and the things like that. So they usually have on your own meals. So this was a really awesome website or possibility for people who really want to travel. They are usually between 5 to 23 days in length, and they're designed And discounted to be interesting and affordable to educators. So I thought that was super cool. Mm.
I thought they were like totally cool. Like, did you see, it's like, what, 8 days or something in Thailand for like $1,000?
Wow. Right, that's everything. Well, not your food, you know, but it's your airfare.
Not your airfare, not your international airfare. It only is your transfers in country.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought some of it was airfare too. No,
but it is airfare if you're traveling within that country or on that tour, but it does not include your airfare to get there.
Oh, well, still, even so, that's kind of cool. I noticed that their list of this year's travels include Iceland, if you want to go see the Northern Lights.
I want to see that.
Wouldn't that be cool? I really want to go there so bad.
Me too.
Kilimanjaro. They're going to hike Kilimanjaro.
Nice.
Want to go see here, Jennifer, for your history, you can go to Egypt. And they also have the Galapagos Islands. And plus, there's so many more different trips that you can sign up for. And go on. So that was just a list of a few that caught my attention. So one thing they do ask you to do, though, is they will ask you to create some sort of lesson plans or something so that you can share that with other people that have been there. And you can go on their website and they have those lesson plans are there from other teachers that you can access. Mm-hmm.
So I looked at those and unfortunately, and they're just not very extensive with their lesson plan. It just kind of says, you know, I want to go to look at this and I'm going to do this with my kids. There weren't any like pictures from teachers so it wasn't like a complete lesson guide. It was just kind of like, here's what you could do with this information. That was what I got from it.
Yeah. Well, that kind of makes sense though, because it's like, I'm traveling. I don't want to write a lesson plan.
Yeah.
But also because I mean, seriously, so that would be, what is that called, Jen? A primary source when you're the person who's been there, the visit. So if you're using somebody else's, it's not the same thing, where if you're making your own lesson plan about where you've been and those connections, it's like when we watch those Planet Earth movies or documentaries in science class and I always have to pause and go, oh my god, like this is so awesome, but it doesn't compare to being there in person. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I have to tell my stories about where I've been and what I've seen and just because the screen, it's incredible, especially when you're in the classroom, you got that big screen, but god, it just doesn't,
it doesn't do justice.
It doesn't do justice to being there. You gotta travel. Everybody, you got to travel.
Teaching really is storytelling.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's really what we're all trying to do, is tell stories. And if you've been someplace that makes you that much better of a storyteller, because you can talk about your exact experiences that you had and make it more real.
I always tell my kids when we do the Africa unit and we're going over like the map, you know, we're labeling rivers and stuff, the Zambezi River when I went whitewater rafting on the Zambezi River, and this lady, our raft flipped over and one of the oars sliced her face open. Ooh, I tell them that story. I get all into it. And I was like, oh, cheek meat was hanging out, blood everywhere. Yeah. I always tell them that story. And I have pictures too from that trip. No, I didn't take pictures of her face, obviously. Uh-oh. But yeah, but no, I'm like,
the
animals, and they all get super grossed out, you know, when I show them, you know, animals eating other animals and stuff, but. Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool though. It makes it more real, right? Because otherwise, so many of these things are places that no, you know, kids will never go, adults will never go. So for you to have firsthand knowledge of the places that you're teaching about, I think that's really, really
very cool.
Valuable.
Yeah,
it is so cool. Yeah, I'm all with you.
I would imagine too, you probably can write it off, don't you think, on your taxes as an educational?
I don't know if you could write off all of it, but. I know there's
it's tricky.
Yeah,
it's tricky. You've got to talk to your tax person beforehand. You know, another way that before I had children and how I would travel just kind of locally is I would volunteer for events. You know, when I was younger, I volunteered for this like Christian rock festival, Spirit West Coast. I volunteered there like 3 years, and I got to drive the rock stars from the hotel, you know, to the venue and, you know, back and forth. And that was my job. I just like, I was their driver. Yeah. And I mean, all it was is I sat in it, you know, I slept in a tent, but I got my entrance to the festival for free.
Nice.
So every time I wasn't working, I got to just go and listen to the music and blah, 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 blah. And that's always a great idea.
How old were you when you were doing that?
I would say late 20s.
Right. I'm 60. I don't want to do it.
Right. I know. That's why I said before I had kids, you right? know, but old people aren't the only ones listening to us. And
I know
some young people listening too. You gotta, you know, give them some little something to grab onto hints. Also.
A lot of this stuff is good for people who are, well, I mean, even you could be older and adventurous too, I just think that, yeah, me too. You know, before you have too many commitments in your life is the time to travel, right? Before you've got,
always time to travel.
Yeah.
Always.
Who cares?
I know, but commitment even more so, not, I tried travel. To
yeah. Don't wait until you have money to do it the way you think you want to do it. Just go. Yeah. Just go.
You're right. That's so true, Sharon. That is so true. I'm telling both my boys right now, especially Robert, who's a dive instructor. I'm like, what are you doing? You have no mortgage, no payments, no bills, no wife, no kids. You should be on the go,
Should
be going all over the place and being a dive master and staying at a resort or wherever you want to be until you make enough money to go somewhere else and then just travel all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. So I can live vicariously through you,
right?
And that education I paid for. But you know what else you can do though for traveling? I know that there is the ability to do some kind of fundraising or even some grants for travel for teachers mm-hmm. that are out there. So there's ways to pay for it if you don't have the bank account to support it at the time. Mm-hmm. Which, when you were talking about flying and airfare, Sharon. Mm-hmm. Not being included. Here's another website I came across, which I was like, what? It's called flyforgood.com. Did you see that?
Yes. Did you look at my red comment?
Yes, but okay. I think it's not just for that. It's humanitarian airfare is one of the airlines best kept secrets, right? So they have negotiations with 36 different airlines. And they have complete collections of humanitarian airfare in the industry. So you can go look at that.
If you're going on a humanitarian trip.
Right. But I wonder how much you could like say, I'm going on a humanitarian trip to help my family move.
Yeah, I don't think so because it said we book for nonprofit groups.
So maybe you have to go through the,
yeah. So like for instance, like us,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. So like when we go, the youth group goes, right. And we go mm-hmm. every year on a mission, except for this year. And we go on a mission trip. Like that would be a good resource for that. But from what I could see from that, and it was for nonprofit groups to use.
Okay. Well, if you're a nonprofit, check out flyforgood.com. Or create your own nonprofit and check out. There's a bunch of teachers out there who do this, who travel all over the place. And that's where I got a lot of this information from them. And one of them was a blog called, Teacher Traveling Teacher or Teacher Traveling. And this person has 24 teacher traveling opportunities on it. And she basically talks about how to travel free using credit card points. And she talks about how she's like funded all of her travels all over the place. And she has like a little method that she uses. And she even tells you what are the best credit cards to use.
And you know who does that? Stephanie. That's how Stephanie travels.
Really?
Yes. That's what she was telling me. Yes.
Really?
Yes. This is exactly what she does. She's talking about like you can use like your card that you buy points on to buy like a gift certificate for the Gap. And then you use that to buy your clothes, you know? So, and then you're getting points for using it. So like you can get, there's all sorts of ways of manipulating it so that you can get extra points for things that you would normally do anyway.
Well, she should, next time we have the professional development day for the entire school district, she should do a course on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would really, we should tell her that. That would really be cool. Stephanie, you're going to put together right now your curriculum for how to use points on credit cards so all of us teachers can travel when that's allowed again. Okay. Anyway, so many of the of these programs, though, she said, are associated with university programs, and you can get master's credit and all kinds of things for your travel. And a lot of them include, like, you take an online class for a couple of weeks, and then there's a 2-week, like, travel field work day that you go. And she's done things like gone to Palestine and studied in the territories there. She's been to Chennai, India, and I probably said that wrong. She did studies in Buddhism in Thailand. And her name is, by the way, just so I can give her credit, she's a Massachusetts teacher, and her name is Kim Young. So look up her blog and check her out, because it was pretty amazing. And then there was another web source by a person named Andy Webb, interestingly enough. And she actually put together a list of 200 fully funded travel opportunities. So that is something else you can look for, because she talks about, like, how to fund them, where they are, what they're doing. So there's so much out there for us teachers when you want to be adventurous, to go and check those out. There's another blog too by a person named Jackie. She's the one that does the credit card points, called Globetrotting Teacher. That's where she's at, not the other one. The other lady did just travel opportunities and how she used the master's programs, the university programs, to travel. And then this lady, the Globetrotting Teacher, check her out. Jackie. Yeah. She's the one that does the how to use credit card points. She's got a whole bunch of, she's got a whole travel hacking basics course that you can take to teach you how to become a traveler.
You can use those master classes and, you know, let those classes to get over on your, in pay the, scale. On the column on your, on your pay scale.
Yes.
Even locally, because I did two in Southern California, and one of them I, well, it was a day trip. I needed to do a day trip down through Hollywood, down PCH into Oxnard, and had to go through Hollywood Boulevard and document all that. It was way cool. And another one was overnight, and we did Death Valley, and we went and we looked at, you know, rock formations and how the earth is changing, and it was super cool. And I mean, yeah, I paid for the class and paid for some travel expenses, but it was way cool. And I learned a lot and got to do it with my friend.
Super fun. That's so much better than sitting in a classroom for 10 weeks taking a final.
You know, and those books that I made, they still look at them. I still have them in my classroom, and they still look at them. Those like so-called picture books where, you know, there's the pictures and my little captions. And
hey, here, another website I found, it's called Teacher Travel Discounts. And on this one, it's basically you can save up to 50%, up to 50% on airlines, hotel, car rentals. They have bunches of links that you have access on savings for hotel, apparel, restaurants, car rentals for teachers. One I looked at provided 35% off rooms at Caesar's Palace or any hotels owned by Caesar's, their whole conglomerate, will give you 35% off. The trick is, though, in order to make sure that you are a teacher, you have to be willing to sign up for the service called ID.me, which verifies the fact that you are indeed a teacher.
But they go and look at your fingerprints or something?
Yeah, they just look at your credentials to make, not your real credentials, but obviously you're registered as a teacher in the whatever state you're in. And I've done that before. There were certain places I think that I've been to or things that needed ID.me. I do have an ID.me account anyway. It helps with a lot of things. Even with financial situations and circumstances, a lot of them are using ID.me now too. So it's not a bad thing to have. The other thing I saw was Reebok, and I love Reebok shoes and clothes. We go to the Reebok outlets all the time. My boyfriend and I, he's a Mr. Bargain Shopper extraordinaire. But Reebok offers 50% off when you shop and use ID.me. So
nice.
Cool. You
get your vacation apparel right there. So I thought that was cool. I didn't know that existed, so I'm going to have to pay more attention to that.
And NEA has a similar program through their NEA memberships, so you can use that very much like this.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the website, it's almost identical.
Yeah, it's just basically, I think the companies they make money by promoting certain businesses, and then if you use their links and shop through them, that's how you end up with the discounts. So super good ideas there, I think, for traveling when once again traveling is allowed.
Sad. Normally you'd be on vacation somewhere right now. Boo.
I currently have plans to go to Hawaii, provided this is the big if. Right now they are saying that you have to have about 2 weeks
isolation.
Right. However, if you can get a negative COVID test within 72 hours of leaving, you do not have to follow those restrictions. The point, the trick is, can you do that? Because right now I know it's taking longer than 72 hours.
Pick that shit up on the plane.
We should, huh? Right before in the airport, before you go. You know, the tests are changing now. I just saw something in the news about at-home COVID tests are soon to be released. It's changing, so we'll see. But
if you go through our health provider, it takes 48 hours. The question is, are you going to be able to qualify in order for them to do a test on you?
I already asked, and I have Kaiser, and Kaiser does not do COVID testing for travel purposes. So I would have to go either to those free COVID sites that are out there,
which takes 6 weeks to get your results.
Yeah. Seriously, geez, you don't even have COVID anymore by the time you get your test results. Jeez, it takes so long,
right? Unpaid.
Yeah, but now that we're distance learning, it doesn't really matter. Mm-mm. So now he's pushing me to go the first week too when they're on Oahu. When he's visiting his family, he's like, "You're gonna go?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't want to commit to that yet because I don't know how hard this is gonna be." To, you know, how much of a time commitment it's going to be, but he's like really pushing me to get a ticket. He's like, what does it matter where you are?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Even if it doesn't just go. Come on. I tell my students, you have an opportunity to travel. Why are you even thinking about it?
Yeah.
Say yes.
Yeah.
Anytime you have an opportunity to travel, figure out a fucking way to do it and go.
Yep.
You're right. He even offered to pay my airfare.
Oh, hell yeah, girl. You better go. Shoot, I'll go for you.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry, Ann.
Then you'd have to sleep with her man.
Yeah. I'll sleep on the couch. Shit, buy my airfare. I don't care.
I know. He's like, you could sit on the beach and do your classes from there, and it doesn't really matter. And he goes, I checked with the hotel and they said their Wi-Fi is great.
So, wow.
But being there would mean, like, if our class started at, what, class started at 8:30, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, that's no big deal. So you're online at 5.
Island time, whatever. So.
Oh my gosh. So you think I should do it?
Hell yeah, you should do it. I don't even know why we're talking about this.
Why are you even asking us? Just go.
I would.
I'll be so happy. He'll be so happy if I say that. So, okay.
Don't listen to this podcast. Hey, we got another listener. And you're going. Yes.
When else, though, seriously, when else would I ever have the opportunity to travel during the school year and be able to work?
Yes.
You know, and not have to call for a sub, and et cetera. Mm-hmm. In any case, maybe I'll think more hard.
Actually doing that. There's no thought. You're going.
You have no underlying health condition.
Well,
it's a little mental sometimes, but
yeah. Are you really kidding? I don't think
who
so.
Isn't
there's a lot of
I'm straight kookalooku over here, man. It's all good.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a little break right here, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about staycation ideas, things we can do when we are home, and that maybe make it feel a little bit more like a vacation. And we're going to talk about our best and worst travel times. How's that sound? Mm-hmm. We'll see you back here in a few. Welcome back. And now we're going to try to give some ideas out here about what we can do at home to kind of try to make it feel like we're vacationing. So let's just talk about what are some things that you've been doing that are trying to feel like you're vacationing. Have you got any ideas? What have you been doing to
Making your drinks over ice, blend them. Yeah.
I'm all drinking lots of alcohol. Yeah.
pretty soon it looks like I'm somewhere else. Yeah, I don't know where I'm at after a couple drinks. I'm like, oh shit, maybe I'm on vacation.
Idea number one. Blended drinks.
Put garnishes. Put garnishes in your drink. Yeah.
Find umbrellas. Yes. You have to order them on Amazon.
Oh, you just toss some fresh basil in there. Put a slice of lime in there.
You know what I've actually been doing that I'd never ever done before? I've been making homemade popsicles. cook some, you know, food from other countries or parts of the world.
When it's 105 out, yeah, you want to cook?
No, I got my crock pot going so right good. Now. I'm not cooking shit.
Oh, what's in your crock pot?
I'm doing barbecue pulled chicken.
You know what you could do too, because a lot of us aren't going shopping as much as we used to. So our cupboards are kind of getting full of weird food. So you could play Chopped, like the TV show, where you could have like, see who could prepare the best meal with what's left in the cupboard, figure that out and have like a little party.
We played Cards Against Humanity the other night online. Oh my God, that was a riot.
That was hysterical. That's like being on vacation. So hard.
That is true. What was that website that we used for that? That was fun.
That was Melinda. It was like Dirty Cards or something like that. I don't remember.
Oh my God. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. And I wasn't even like drunk yet. Yeah.
I had a pack of pens. You were making me laugh so hard.
Yeah. So. I was like sweating. I was laughing so hard. I was like, oh my God.
Hey, I just put a cherry in my drink now I'm on vacation. Get your bathing suit on. Go grab some drinks and sit in a chaise lounge. And if you don't have a pool, then throw the sprinkler on every once in a while. I don't know.
Wet yourself with the hose. I did that the other day. I needed some sun.
Man, just get your suit on. Well, we have a pool, so just jump in the pool, get on the floaty, blast some music.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Barbecue. I think barbecuing is always a great way to feel like you're vacationing too.
Yeah, because somebody else does it. Yeah.
Exactly. There's so much less to clean up afterwards, right?
On those nights that were cooler, we were doing a bonfire in the backyard like a lot, like almost every night.
Did you make s'mores?
No.
S'mores are vacationing to me.
I don't want.
Yes, we did that.
I don't want s'mores when I'm drinking by the fire.
What do you eat? What's the best food to eat when you're drinking?
Oh,
cheese and crackers.
Munchy snacks, finger foods.
Cheese and crackers, man.
What about now, Jennifer? You're probably more familiar with this than I am. I haven't really done it, but you've done some of the virtual Google tours, right?
Yeah.
You can take all kinds of virtual tours to museums and all that kinds of stuff too. What are some of the ones that you've done?
I've done the Smithsonian. That was cool.
How do you do that? How do you get to the?
I'll find the website. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, basically like it's like you're walking into the museum and you can go and look at all the exhibits and you even like, you know, can walk up the stairs. You can get in the elevator. You know what I mean? Go to whatever floor. Those are kind of cool. I did one of the Grand Canyon. That was pretty cool. Oh God, it even gave me like that dip in my stomach. You know what I mean? Like, cause I don't like heights. I don't like heights. And I was all, feeling a little weird.
Were you using the goggles for that?
No. You do it on the computer.
Seriously? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I thought it was the Google goggles.
Well, you could. You could do that too.
Cool. So, you know, it'd be really cool if you did that and could project it to your smart television, especially those of you out there who have like a 70-inch screen. Mm-hmm. That'd be really cool. You can take your whole family on a hike through the Grand Canyon.
I did the one to the top of Everest. That one was cool.
And you didn't need an oxygen tank.
No.
See?
And I was not freezing. Yeah.
Maybe now you'd want to do that. You could, you know, you could like to really enhance it, make it 4D. You could bring like ice bags and put them all over your body while you're watching.
That is too much work. They have them. They have like diving tours too that you can check out. Those are cool.
Wow. Or just those live cams where you can watch.
The bears. Great idea. Yes, I always watch the bears.
Yes.
In Yosemite.
There's some really good live cams, nature cams out there. you've taken some boat trips, haven't you, Jen?
Yeah, I just went deep sea fishing 2 weekends ago. That was
how was that?
Was rad. That was fun. It was beautiful. Oh my God, the weather was so nice. We saw all kinds of dolphin. We didn't catch very many tuna, but it was fun.
Very many. You caught more than one?
I didn't catch anything. I sucked, but I think altogether our boat caught like 10, which is pretty crappy. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
So how did they social distance and mask? How'd they do that?
Well, you're outside the majority of the time, so you didn't really have to wear a mask. But if you were in the galley, like everybody doesn't eat together at the same time. Everybody's assigned a number, right? So like me and Rich, we were 8 and 9. So when they call your number, that's when you go in to eat. And it's like every other, it's just like, you know, like seating at a restaurant, you know, outside every other table.
So they had it figured out for,
yeah, they had it figured out. Yeah. And we had, cool. We had our own to sleep. We had our own rooms. So
it was overnight.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. We left on a Friday and I didn't get back until Sunday morning at like 5 in the morning. We were back. Yeah. We went all the way down. We fished in Mexico. This is where we were fishing.
Get out. Wow.
Did you bring home any yellowtail?
I did not. No.
What'd you bring home? Anything?
A hangover is what I brought home. Oh, man. That first night, oh, God, we were partying it up. It was fun. But we didn't go with like strangers. Everybody that we went with, we knew everybody.
So it was like a boat with just friends on it.
Yes, that's it. We took up, and because they're not filling the whole boats. You know what I mean? Because that boat could have fit 50. And I think there was like 18 of us.
Oh my gosh. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a shameless plug. Give them a shameless plug. Who was it? What was the service?
No, I'm not going to say the name of the boat because the boat kind of sucked. Yeah. The boat kind of sucked. The people, like the deckhands were like 17, 18, 19 years old. You know, all of a sudden, where'd they go? And then all of a sudden, you know, the whole boat smelled like pot. I was like, Jesus. And here they come back. Oh, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, Lord. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I
had fun just because of the group of people that I went with, but I wouldn't recommend that. I've been on many different fishing boats, and this was the worst one. But I still had a great time. Yeah.
I still
had a lot of fun. So. Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea, though, to know that you can do that with a group of friends that you know are like COVID careful and go out and have a good time like that. That's awesome. That's a great idea. Yeah,
that was really fun. That was cool.
Was it expensive?
Actually, it was not that. You would think it would be more expensive because they're not packing the boat, but it wasn't that bad. For both of us to go, I think it was like a little over $800. For the two of us.
Oh, for how many nights?
Well, we slept on the boat Friday night and Saturday night. And we literally fished all day Saturday. I didn't get up until probably like 7 something, but some of the guys were up fishing at like 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. And they fished till midnight that night on Saturday. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like to be out in the sun, on the water. You know what I mean? That's, I don't even care if I fished or not. I just like being out in the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great idea. I would love to do that.
And the seas were good. It wasn't like, ooh, like, you know, you're getting all seasick or nothing. It wasn't bad. It was really nice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I miss the beach and I miss the ocean. Mm. There's a couple times I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go to the beach. Oh yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, something else you can do, is you could have like movie night in your backyard. I was thinking about that time, Jennifer, didn't you rent that?
No, that was my friend's. That was my friend's big blow up screen.
That was awesome. So I was thinking about a family movie night in the backyard, where even if you didn't have a screen, you can certainly use a sheet if you can hang it up between two trees or even
but your garage door.
Or on the side of your house or something. I went on Amazon. I was looking up to see how much these projectors cost. And they've come down in price so much from when they first came out. In fact, this one I found is the projector, and it was, I think it's a 100-inch screen. And it, for both of them, it was $109. So, I mean, that's something you could have and keep and use over and over again, too. Easy way to keep an eye on your kids, sit outside when it's cool, get bit up by mosquitoes.
Yeah, right? I don't know what's going around biting this year, but...
It's bad. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Horrible. I have not been bit by mosquitoes this much for years.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else that you think of that we do? Like hiking? Some people have gone on hikes locally. There, you can Google that. There's, in fact, depending on the day you go, there's probably less people if you can go midweek. So there's this one place I went hiking. It was called Heart Rock, and I think you can Google it. And it's actually a heart-shaped rock that's been carved out by water. It's really interesting.
Oh, cool.
It's really neat. And there's a lot of water up there, a lot of like streams and stuff. And the hike in itself is really pretty. The problem was we went on a weekend and it was packed. There were so many people there. I mean, you could hardly even find parking. It was so bad. And some people were wearing masks. Some people were not wearing masks. So that part was kind of tough. But it was really pretty.
I just Googled it. It says it's a heavily trafficked trail loop near Cedar Pines. Oh, so you went up and came back a different way?
No, we came back the same way.
Oh, really? It says you can do a whole loop.
Well, I just went with the people who had gone before and followed them. So
cool.
It was the same way in and out. It was really a loop. But it was really pretty. It would have been really cool to be up there when there wasn't a lot of people. Have you been hiking? You said, Jen, you've been doing a lot of hiking. Where have you been?
We did Bridge to Nowhere. That was really
Where
cool.
Where is that one?
Azusa Canyon.
I heard that was really neat to see.
It's really cool because you have to cross this stream like 8 times. Like, and at one point you're like holding onto a rope like to cross. Yeah, the water was pretty, the water was going. That one was really cool. That was a 10 and a half miles. But by the time you park, my little Fitbit said I did 13 miles on that one. That one
was it great. Crowded?
It wasn't. It wasn't bad.
Mm-mm. What day did you guys go?
We went on a Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday. And we left at like 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there were people like camping. Like, it's like free camping. You can camp wherever you want. But they say...
Are you sure those weren't homeless people?
Is that on BLM land?
What's that?
Is it on BLM land?
BLM land?
Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah,
I don't matter. Know. But you legit hike to a bridge that's that goes across two mountains. Literally, it goes nowhere. And on the weekends, they bungee jump off that bridge.
Huh? How high is it? Is it pretty high?
Yeah, it's real high.
Yeah. Wow, I want to go there.
It was a cool hike. Like, it wasn't. You weren't like really like on a trail or anything, and you were like climbing up rocks and. Yeah, at one point I was like, shit, we're rock climbing. Oh my gosh. But yeah, and you're crossing over the stream and it was cool. I liked it.
So it was constructed in 1936 and it was going to be a link as a roadway between the San Gabriel Valley to the south and Wrightwood to the north. However, in the spring of 1938, a massive flood changed the landscape of the canyon and washed out the road leading to the bridge, and the road was never restored and construction was abandoned.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow. Anybody taken any road trips, like gone and visited somewhere, driven anywhere?
I've been to the river plenty of times.
How was that? How's the river been? When you say river, for people who may not know what you're referring to, what do you mean by what is the river?
Havasu, sometimes Parker. When the shit hit the fan in the beginning, we were at the river every weekend because I was like, okay, we can't go anywhere. Everything is closed. Let's go social distance on our boat. In the water. So we did. And we would get up every morning and we'd go find a cove and he would fish and I'd read a book and swim. And oh gosh, it was great. It's nice. Now we were supposed to go 2 weeks ago. We actually canceled that trip. Cause I heard it's like all crazy out there now. So we've, you know, but in the beginning we went probably like 8 or 9 times. We went to the river and just, you know, hung out and swam and it was nice.
Sounds nice. I haven't been to the river for a million years. Yeah. A long time.
Yeah. I've been to my front yard. And I've been to my backyard.
Yeah.
And I've been to my garage.
I haven't really been anywhere either. I've taken, like I said, I think that hike was about the most I've done anything travel wise at all. Oh, you know, or the grocery store. There's a road trip there.
So yeah, what about, I don't even do that.
You know what I mean? We'll take up off. Sometimes we'll drive up to Baldy, and because Baldy Lodge is open, you know, of course you have to sit outside, and we'll take up out to Baldy and get like breakfast to go, because we know like some of like the back roads and stuff up there, and just, you know, cruise around and, you know, something to do.
Anyway, those are some ideas. Mm-hmm. We could do backyard film festivals. You could do barbecues. You can do some hiking. You can.
Camping's cool too.
Oh, camping. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gone camping a couple times.
So I think we're going to let you all go off and dream about go off and dream about your favorite vacations and things that you wish you were doing. And hopefully you got some ideas today of some ways maybe to finish off your summer before you head back or not head back to the classroom, whatever it is that your
back to your corner.
head back to your computer.
Yeah, head back to your computer in the corner of your house.
Oh, God.
Gosh.
So this too shall pass. That's the only thing I can say. So once again, I'd like to thank you all for tuning in and sharing some of your summer vacation with us. Hopefully it was while you were doing something productive, maybe going out for a walk or taking in some fresh air. Whatever it is, I hope you stay healthy and safe. And visit us on our website, where I will be posting all of the links to the things that we talked about today on our website. So make sure you go to www.transparencyinteaching.com and click on the button for the links. And please join us again when we meet in another 2 weeks. Right?
Yep.
How's it sound? All right, guys. So let's go enjoy the last few weeks of our vacation before things start really getting crazy, right? Because that's what's going to happen now. Meetings.
We're going to have so many freaking meetings.
Starting next week.